Started.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love and mercies. Thank you for your helps and compassions toward us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all that you're doing right now for our good. And thank you for the things you're going to do for us very shortly. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for solving difficult problems in our lives. Thank you for helping us to obey you, love you, trust you, and please you. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making ways for us in places where there are no ways, places where there was no way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us stronger than pain, stronger than the flesh, and stronger than the forces controlling this world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for how you open our eyes to see your truth all the time. And thank you for helping us to embrace the truth so that we can be free through your truth. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening in your presence to learn once again at your feet. Speak to us from your heart. Speak to us expressly in Jesus' name. Make us understand the teaching of tonight and let your name be glorified forever. Thank you, faithful Lord, in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Yeah, I want one of you who was present during the last Bible study class to tell me the topic. Yeah, if you were present during the last Bible study class, can you tell me the topic we did? Just text it, type it in the chat, in the chat section. Okay, none of you can remember. Let us be taking notes. Yeah, let us be taking notes during every Bible study class. Yeah, because I expect that one of you should be able to remember the topic we did last Tuesday. Yeah, but unfortunately none of you could remember. So that's not very good. Yeah, it's not very, very good. Firstly, we have been talking about persecution, and we are at point number 4 that says the reasons why persecutors attack Christians. And then under this point number 4, we did other points. Yeah, one of them was their goal is to stop the witness. That is the goal of persecutors, is to stop the witness. They don't want Christians to continue to witness Jesus. And then the second one we talked about was wicked men hate the righteous. Yeah, wicked men hate the righteous. Wicked men hate the righteous. So that's another reason why persecutors attack Christians, and that was where we stopped. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. As I was saying, I said we did some points under the reasons why persecutors attack Christians. Yeah, and the first one was, one of the first reason was their goal is to stop the witness of the gospel. And then the second was wicked men hate the righteous. Yeah, and that was where we stopped. So, I want every one of you to always take note of, especially the topic and then the Bible verses and then the things that you learn during the course of the Bible study discussion. So make sure you have a pen and a book. Yeah, where you jot those things. Number one, you take note of the topic, and then you take note of the Bible verses, and then you also write down the things you learn. Yeah, during the discussion, and then if you have questions, you can write it down as well, so that when I say do any one of you have questions? Yeah, you'll be able to ask the question immediately. Yeah, so next Tuesday I might also ask the same question I asked earlier as we started this class. So I might ask another question next Tuesday to confirm if you are taking notes. Yeah, it's very important that you take notes. Yeah, very, very important. It will help you to really learn and not forget the things you have learned. So today we're going to be looking at another reason why persecutors attack Christians. The third reason is because fruit is a witness against evil. Persecutors attack Christians because fruit is a witness against evil. Praise the Lord. You know, just as we have light and darkness, we also have good and evil. And then we also have truth and lies. Truth and lies. Yeah. So those ones that are positive, they work together. That is, good and truth work together. Truth and light, they work together. But the ones that are negative, such as light, evil, darkness, they also work together. Yeah, so that is why our topic says, because truth is a witness against evil. Yeah, those that are in lies, those that are practicing lies and deception, they always feel uncomfortable with the truth. Yeah, those whose lifestyle is according to lies, deception, falsehood, hypocrisy, they always feel uncomfortable. Yeah, uncomfortable with the truth. Yeah, and they will not tolerate someone who is standing for the truth. Yeah, they would hate that person. Yeah, so that is why persecutors hate whoever is telling the truth. they hate such persons. Now, there are some ministers of God that certain churches cannot invite because the pastors of those churches, they know that if we invite this minister of God or this man of God, he's going to come here and tell the truth. He's going to come here and expose our lives. He's going to come here and threaten us. Yeah. Though the person doesn't have the intention of threatening anyone, but they will feel threatened because they are not in right standing with God. Yeah. So there are some ministers of God that cannot be invited by certain churches, because those churches, they practice lies and evil and darkness and unrighteousness. And they know that this person, if we bring him here, he will start to speak against what is a normal thing for us here. So usually they will not invite such persons. Yeah, so persecutors, they don't want the truth. They don't want it preached, and they don't want it around them. Yeah, they don't want the truth around them. Yeah, because they are doers of evil, and they represent evil. Yeah, so let us look at scriptures that confirms this topic. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings. Yeah, 1 Kings 22, verse 17 to 27. 1 Kings 22, verse 17 to 27. 1 Kings 22, 17 to 27. So I'm going to read very fast. And he said, now this is a prophet speaking. The name of this prophet is called Micaiah. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Both Zedekiah, the son of Senana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Hamon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Yeah, let us read 28 verse 28. And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." Praise the Lord. So now you can see in that passage, there is a very long passage, but I decided to read everything so that you can see how people have been persecuting the truth, even since the Old Testament days. Yeah, and they would imprison God's servants and even kill God's servants for saying the truth. Yeah, and they are still doing it even to today. Yeah, but you must continue to say the truth. Yeah, even I must continue to say the truth and to preach the truth. Yeah, whether people feel comfortable with it or not. Now, you can see in that passage how a lying spirit from God went to persuade Ahab to go into that battlefield. Yeah, because God already have declared the death of Ahab through Elijah. Prophet Elijah, God already have prophesied that Ahab is going to die. Yeah, because of all the wicked things he did in Israel as the king. Yeah, so it was now time for that prophecy to be performed. And God was looking for who is going to make sure that Ahab gets killed. So God consulted with all his angels. Yeah. And he was asking them who is going to ensure that he helped go into this battle and get healed. Yeah, and one of them said, even though that angel is not a lying spirit by nature. Yeah, but you know, when God's judgment is upon someone, even the angels, we do evil to that person. Yeah, so that passage doesn't imply that there are demons in heaven. Yeah, because a lying spirit is an evil spirit. Yeah, but that passage implies that God can use his angels to do anything when it comes to his judgment, even to do what looks like unrighteous, but is not unrighteous. Yeah, because God's judgment is that Ahab should be killed. Yeah, that was God's judgment. yeah, and it has to be done. Yeah, so the angel came and said, I will do it. I will become a lying spirit in the mouth of the king's prophet. And it was so, because all the prophets that were in the palace of the king, they were all telling him to go into the battle. Yeah, they were all telling him to go into the battle. I pray that you will not you will not receive any judgment from God that will make you hear a lie from the Holy Spirit instead of the truth. Do you know that even the Holy Spirit can tell you what is not true? Do you know that? If you're under God's judgment, yeah, even the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, can tell you what is not true. Yeah, because you don't deserve to know the truth, because your heart is against God's instruction and against God's commandment. Yeah, especially when you have idols in your heart, you have certain things you are craving for, and you so much crave for the thing that the thing have now become your idol. Yeah, and you now exalted that thing above God and above the place of God in your life. So when there is an idol in your heart, even the Holy Spirit will tell you things that are not true. The Holy Spirit will speak according to the idol in your heart. Yeah, there are some people who are praying for God to show them who they should marry. Yeah. And because they already have someone in mind. Yeah, they already have someone they actually wanted to be married to. Yeah. And what the Holy Spirit told them was the same person. The Holy Spirit mentioned the name of the same person that they had in mind. Yeah, the Holy Spirit did not tell them the truth, because they already had an idol in their heart. They did not approach God with an open heart. They already have what they wanted. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit also just gives them what they wanted. In fact, sometimes even people like that will see dreams, and they will even get visions of that idol in their heart, and they will conclude and say, oh, God have confirmed that, you know, that this is what I should do, or God has spoken. Whereas God did not say anything. God, in fact, deceived them so that they can perish. Like God deceived Ahab so that he can perish. Yeah, so it is a dangerous thing to have a heart that is not right when you are walking with God. Yeah, because you will not get anything good from God when your heart is not right with God. And when your heart is so full of idols, you will not get anything good from God. And even when you ask for directions from God, you will not get a clear direction. You will not. You will not. So let us look. So we know the end of, you know, the end of that story. If you read that, if you read the same passage, First Kings 22, you're going to see what eventually happened to Ahab at the battlefield. Yeah. So let us look at another scripture. Let us look at Second Chronicles 16, verse 7 to 10. Second Chronicles 15, verse 7 to 10. Second Chronicles 15, verse 7 to 10. I think we have read this place before. Let me read it again. And at that time, Anani the seer came to Hasa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Hearing thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. So you can see here how the truth was persecuted alongside with the one who spoke the truth, which was the man of God, Anani, this. Yeah. So we saw how God sent him to rebuke the king for depending on the harm of the flesh, for depending on a human being, on the king of Syria, instead of depending on the Lord. Yeah, and the king was very angry. So even today, when people like us tell the truth, some people also get angry immediately because they feel that they are too big to be corrected, too big to be rebuked by God. They have made themselves more important than the truth. They have exalted themselves above God's truth. So when anyone tells them the truth, they get angry. Yeah, I pity them. Yeah, because there is a place where everybody finds out the truth eventually. And it's always too late to repent in that place. And you know that place. That is hell. Hellfire. Yeah. So the people in hell, they don't need any sermon again. Yeah. Because they now realize that all the things they rejected when they were still on earth was actually the truth. All the things they hated, the doctrines they hated, the teachings they hated, the corrections they hated, they now found out in hell that they were all true. But it was too late for them to repent. It was already too late. And I'm praying for those of you here that have this opportunity to hear the truth. I pray that you will not have to go to hell to accept the truth. I pray that you will accept the truth here on earth before you leave this earth, and that you will allow the truth to save you. In Jesus' name. Yeah, so we saw in that place how the truth was persecuted, and the one who was saying it. Yeah, but what I have learned from people who preached the truth in the Bible was that they didn't stop saying the truth even after they were arrested and jailed and some even wounded and tormented, and some were even killed. They still did not stop standing for the truth and preaching it. And I'm praying for those of you that are currently saying the truth, preaching the truth, teaching the truth. I'm praying for you that you will not stop. And nothing in this world or outside of this world will make you to stop. In Jesus' name. So let us look at another example. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20 to 21. 2 Chronicles 24:20-21. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada. Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord? He hath also forsaken you. Verse 21, and they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the Lord in the court of the house of the Lord. You can see. Let me read for you in New Living Translation. Let us look at the same scripture. Second Chronicles 24:20-21. I want you to understand what happened in that place very well. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. He stood before the people and said, This is what God says. Why do you disobey the Lord's command and keep yourself from prospering? You have abandoned the Lord, and now he has abandoned you. Verse 21. Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah. And King Joash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. Can you see that? This is like someone standing on the pulpit, and the person is being stoned, even as he or she is preaching from the pulpit, because this was inside the temple of the Lord, that the king commanded that they should stone him to death. Yeah, what a wicked king. Yeah, because he told them the mind of God. Yeah, he told them that they have been disobeying God, and they have kept themselves from prospering. So you can see how disobedience can keep a man from prospering. Yeah. Like, you know, some people they just want to prosper, and they would pray and pray, and they would even fast and fast. Yeah, but they are not obedient to the word of God, and yet they want to prosper. How is that going to happen? Yeah, to prosper is to obey the word of God. Yeah, to prosper is to obey God's word. And to disobey God's word is to keep oneself from prospering. Yeah, so those people, they were really angry with that prophet. I think he was even a priest, and Zechariah, they were angry with him. Yeah, because he even told them that because they are forsaking God, therefore God have also forsaken them. So they didn't want to hear that, and they killed him. Yeah, that is how wicked the generation of human beings are. And let us look at another example. Jeremiah 32, verse 2 to 3. Jeremiah 32, verse 2 to 3. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Yeah. You can see Jeremiah was imprisoned because he told the truth. Yeah, he was imprisoned because he told the former king, or maybe the deposed king, because eventually the king of Babylon came and captured this man that put Jeremiah into prison, Zedekiah. Yeah, so they put Jeremiah into prison because Jeremiah was telling them that the judgment of God is upon this nation, and because of that, God has sent the king of Babylon to come and capture this country and even take all of you as slaves to Babylon. And they were angry with that because they thought, if you're a prophet and you're a citizen of our country, why are you saying that a king from another country will come and take us as slaves and destroy us? Yeah, so they got angry and they put him into prison. Yeah, so I believe God is making us to consider this teaching at this time. I mean, this teaching on persecution at this time, because is preparing us for what will rise against genuine Christians and genuine ministers of God in these last days. So God is preparing you ahead of that time. Yeah, it's preparing us. Yeah, ahead of the time where the church will be globally persecuted, and even Satan will stir up all social media platforms to fight the church of God and to fight God's servants. Now, I mean, I'm referring to God's servants that are standing on the truth, not the ones that have compromised with darkness. Yeah, so this particular teaching we are doing now is very timely, and you will soon confirm that. Let us look at another scripture. Amos, open your Bibles to Amos chapter 5, verse 10. Amos chapter 5, verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Yeah. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So what that verse is saying, that everyone that stand at the gate and is rebuking the people passing through the gate, because in the ancient times, there used to be a gate, more like a border, the border of a city or of a land or of a town. There used to be a gate, which is where every travelers, everyone that is entering into the city, they must pass through that gate. Yeah, and usually God will send his servants, his prophets, or more like people you can call evangelists nowadays. God will send them to go and stand at that gate and to start to preach to those that are coming in through the gate. Yeah. And here, Amos saying they hated those that are rebuking at the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Yeah, you know, some people have been silenced, and they kept, and they remained silenced. I pray that no devil will be able to silence you from preaching the gospel of the truth in Jesus' name. Yeah, because some people, these wicked people confronted them, or maybe I should use the word unbelievers. Unbelievers confronted them and said, everything you are saying is rubbish, is they are lies. Stop speaking nonsense. And some of them, they felt so ashamed. And they thought like, oh, I'm not going to speak here again. And some even stopped preaching completely, because some people said, you're talking rubbish. Go and sit down. Yeah, go and find work to do. Like some people would say, yeah, go and find job to do. Why are you just wasting your life? This Jesus is not real. Some people will say, this is white man religion. And they are just using this Christianity to deceive all of you. And to, and to exploit all of you. And they would say all manner of things. Yeah, and then, the preacher would also go back home and, you know, I shut up is our mouth. That is very wrong. Yeah, that is very wrong. If indeed the Spirit of God is in you, you will not shut your mouth, because some people are telling you, you are talking rubbish, and you should not preach about Jesus again. If indeed you are a son of God, you are a child of God, you will not keep your mouth shut. I pray that no voice of men or of devil shall be able to keep your mouth shut from preaching the gospel of the truth in Jesus' name. So let us look at another scripture, John chapter 7, verse 7. John 7, 7. Yeah, John 7, 7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Yeah. Jesus was talking to his brethren in that place. Yeah, because his brethren at that time did not believe in him. You know that Jesus had brothers and sisters. After Mary gave birth to Jesus, she also gave birth to other siblings of Jesus. I believe you know that. And many of them did not believe in him, even though Jesus, their mother believed in Jesus. Yeah, the mother of Jesus believed in Jesus, but the siblings did not believe in him. In fact, some of them believed only after they saw him resurrected from the grave. People like Jude. I know you might have seen Jude in the Bible, the book of Jude. That Jude was one of the siblings of Jesus. Yeah, that Jude was one of his brethren. Yeah, and I think there was a James too, that was also one of the brethren of Jesus. Yeah, so they didn't believe him until when they saw that he rose from the grave. That was when they now agreed that, no, this is not human being, and this is God. Yeah, so in this passage, they were kind of teasing him that, if you are doing all these miracles, why are you still hiding yourself? Yeah, and he was telling them that, you don't tell me what to do. Yeah, I know the right time to always appear in places and preach. And then he was telling them in verse 7, John chapter 7, verse 7, he was saying that the world cannot hate them. You know, since at that time, his brethren, they were unbelievers. He was telling them that the world cannot hate you, but it is me the world hates, because I testify that the works that the people of the world are doing are evil. Yeah, so if the people of the world hated Jesus, even if his own siblings hated him or did not believe him, then why should you feel bad when people don't believe you and when they hate you because you follow Jesus and you serve Jesus and you preach Jesus? Why should you feel bad? Yeah, because they did the same thing to Jesus. Then if they did the same to Jesus, are you greater than Jesus? Then surely they have to do the same thing to you. Yeah, let us look at another example. Acts 6, verse 10 to 15. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And this was Stephen speaking before the religious leaders. Then the suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You can see how they also persecuted one of the vibrant and powerful ministers of the early church, Stephen. Yeah, let us look at another example. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the high that is called Patmos," or highland that is called Patmos, "for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. So you can see, John said, number one, he said, "I am your brother." And number two, he said, "companion in tribulation." Yeah, so in those days, they would persecute a lot of believers. You know, till it becomes a normal thing. Yeah, in the early church. You know, persecution now became a very normal thing. And the people become used to it. And they're always joyful when it happens to them. And they did not allow the persecutors to stop them and to silence them. They continued steadfastly in the truth and in the faith that was delivered to them. Yeah, that was why John said in this place, he said, "companion in tribulation." So it was not only him that was going through tribulation because of his preaching of the word of God and his testimony of Jesus Christ. So how many people today can say, "I, so and so, I'm your brother or I'm your sister, and also a companion in tribulation"? Well, maybe because we're not really facing the kind of tribulation that they faced in those days. Yeah, and then maybe because we are not facing the tribulation because we chose we chose to do contrary to the will of God. Yeah, because I believe so strongly that if Christians all over the world are really living according to the Bible teachings and are really obeying the commandment in the Word of God, as God expects of us, I believe there would be a lot of persecution already. Yeah, usually persecution comes when people make up their minds to stand for the truth. Yeah, so but in a case where people are now, you know, secretly doing contrary to the truth, though publicly they say they are Christians and they are standing for the truth, but secretly they are doing contrary to the truth, there will not be any persecution. So I think many Christians today are hiding under fear. You know, when God expects that they stand up in public places and challenge the wickedness and unrighteousness that is prevailing in the land, and speak publicly the truth of God's word, and also warn the people of the judgment of God. Yeah, I'm not seeing many people doing that today. Yeah, so and if we don't do that, why should persecution come? Yeah, because everyone is afraid and they don't want to speak the word of God as it is. In fact, some people are even scared, even in their own church as pastors. Yeah, because there are some things that you don't need God to show you in a vision. It's already obvious. You can see it in the life of the church members. I mean, as a pastor, it's so obvious. You can see that your church members are sinners, and they are falling in love with sin and unrighteousness. And yet you call yourself a pastor and you act as if you're not saying it. What kind of pastor are you? You can see it is so obvious that in your church there are adulterers, fornicators, liars, thieves. Yeah, it's obvious. And then you are acting as if may God have mercy on this generation. And then you're acting as if you're not saying it. Yeah, that is wickedness. It means you are also, you are compliant. I think that's the English. It means you are compliant with the evil they are doing. Yeah, because God expects that you climb the pulpit and you start to rebuke them. And you start to tell them that that is wrong, and that they need to repent before it is too late, before they get judgment from God. Yeah, because hellfire is not the only judgment we get from God. People get judgment from God even before they leave this world. Yeah, and in fact, Apostle Peter said, judgment shall start from the house of God. Yeah, so if you call yourself a pastor or a minister or a church leader, and you can see with your eyes the things that are going wrong in the church, and you kept your mouth shut, then you don't deserve to be a minister of God. Yeah, because that is wickedness. To be in a position to correct God's people, and yet you kept your mouth shut. That is wickedness. Yeah, and people in this category, they must repent. They must repent. So we're going to stop here. If you have any question, you can ask now. I can't see any question now. So usually if any one of you have questions, make sure you have typed it before I finish teaching. Yeah, so that once I'm rounding up, I'll just look at the chat section for your question, and then I will just answer immediately. But right now, there's no question here. Yeah, so I will not wait for you to be typing your question now. So you can type it and drop it on the Telegram platform. Okay, what do you mean by what of those faced in homes? Do you mean persecution? Okay, women who refuse to commit abortion. It depends on. Okay, now you mean the parent are telling the person, the daughter, to commit abortion. Okay, or it's coming from the husband. All right. Yeah, the truth remains that you don't please man. You don't please man. Yeah, above God. Yeah, you don't obey man. Yeah, of course, it is also persecution. Yeah, but whoever might be enforcing such thing in the family, whether it's the parent or it is the husband, yeah, the truth remains that we cannot please man. Yeah, and that is, when it means disobeying God, yeah, you can't. Yeah, even if a torture or afflictions might follow that, might follow this kind of persecution, and sometimes maybe verbal abuse, emotional abuse, and domestic abuse, whatever kind of abuse or psychological abuse might follow this kind of persecution. Even with that, you must not sin because somebody is telling you to do that. Yeah, so we must obey God above man. Yeah, so we must obey God above man. Yeah, we must not please man. When the pleasing man, and that meant displeasing God. Yeah, we must not. When pleasing man or doing what man is telling you to do means is obeying divine commandments or God's commandments or God's instructions. Yeah, so that is also a type of persecution. And we must not surrender. Yeah, even if we have to suffer a lot. Yeah, in that case. Yeah. So in fact, the Bible told us that we must be ready to disobey parents, spouses, in order to please God. Jesus said that. Yeah, that was what Jesus meant by hating your family members. He said, if you are going to follow me, you must hate your father, your mother, yeah, and all of that. So the word hate there means you must refuse whatever they tell you to do that is contrary to the will of God. You must not agree with what they tell you to do. Whoever is the person, or even if it's someone you respect so much, inasmuch as that person is now telling you to do what is contrary to God's word and to God's will, you must refuse. Yeah. And you must be bold about it. Yeah. So that's a good question. Yeah. So if there are other questions, you can drop it on the Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this hour we have spent in your presence. Thank you for showing us from your word how men persecute your truth, how men oppose your truth and those who speak the truth. Thank you for showing us that we must not keep silent, that we must not keep quiet because of the persecutors, because of the threatenings and attacks coming from the persecutors. Thank you, Lord, for showing us these things. Thank you, Father. I ask that you help everyone here who have made up their mind to stand for you in these last days, and to stand for your truth at this time. Oh Lord, I ask that you help them. Help everyone here with such mind. In Jesus' name, I pray that all the pressure that is coming from unbelievers around you to take you out of God's righteousness and out of God's way shall not be able to overcome you. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that you shall receive strength and boldness from the Lord to stand for the truth and to preach the truth in public places. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Remain blessed.